Hey, welcome. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Champion Standard Episode Zero Introductory Podcast. Very exciting. This is our very first podcast. You can only have one first podcast, so I'm sure there's a little anxiousness on both of our sides here, but yeah, Champion Standard, that's who we are here. I'm your co-host, Brad, and I'll be your host with Rob on the other side of the glass here, and we're just going to kind of jump right in. Timing's perfect for our first podcast here. It's spring game weekend, so we're going to jump into that a little bit. So, Rob, I'm going to kind of kick it off with you here. We went to the spring game together yesterday. So, you know, what stood out to you or who stood out to you yesterday in the game?
You know, spring game is one of the more unique things of football. You know, it's kind of a slow preparatory game in the spring, you know, and get a chance to see your players and see the guys that you have been following their career and everything. You get to see them play kind of a scrimmage. You know, you get all these practice notes, you get all this practice stuff, and to actually see some of it that's true, some of it might not be true, but you know, my guy, you know, I got like three guys that I'm watching, and Robert Spears Jennings, he's on my list. He's up there. Mm-hmm. And I felt like even when he was playing at 60%, he was going to take someone's head off. they had those little padded domes, and he was still coming downhill, and you could tell that he was, you know, coming back a little bit. But yeah, there's not a whole lot you can take from a spring game, but it's still just a lot of fun. The weather was good, and there's so much excitement right now because you got a new OC, new quarterback, new O-line. You got a defense that's in year three. They brought all those guys back with NIL deals like Stutzman and Bowman and Terry. And it's just really just a fun day, just a really great fun day. And, you know, I don't know how much, like, again, I don't know how much you could take away from it, but it was good to see some of those guys that you're wanting to see take that next step, especially into our new Champions League that we're going into.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You mentioned RSJ. You had taken a quick break when he made one of his better plays, but I guess it was Sam Franklin, you know, had – you know, busted a play. It looked like he was going to break it outside. And then all of a sudden you just see this heat seeking missile come in from the secondary and just lay it to him. And he didn't stop until the whistle. I think he pushed him back a good 5 or 10 yards. So, you know, that was kind of his highlight of the day, so to speak. But yeah, he was all over the place. I'm glad you mentioned RSJ because, he was out there, but, you know, the guy that kind of made the big debut yesterday was Deion Burks.
Sure. Yeah.
So you and I have heard about him, you know, we hear about him in practice. You never know what that's going to look like in front of, I was getting ready to say 80,000 people, but let's just go with 45,000 people. But he is the real deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just off the top of my head, I'm counting maybe 4 or 5 plays he had. 3 of them were for 20 yards plus. Mm-hmm. I know the touchdown within the opening minutes, just he looks everything as advertised. I'm really excited about him. I don't know if we've had a guy like that since who Rob, who's the last guy we had like that?
Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
Been saying that since I've been saying it since we got him. I've been telling you, like, whatever NIL collective just said, hey, yeah, we're stacked at receiver. We got Nick Anderson, we got Pettaway, we got Gibson, we got all these guys coming in. But there was an NIL collective. I don't know who it was. I'm sure I could probably point to him to say Purdue guy, Burks, size, speed, change of direction. All those different things, right? Whatever, on the field. But them to say, hey, we can get this guy, let's bring him in. And they did it. He was on the field. And it's obvious that Arnold and Burks are building that connection on the field. They do it in practice. We hear about it. You see it on the field now in front of, you know, 30,000-40,000 fans. So props to the team and bringing him in, because that's a great addition, because it's only going to make our offense, especially if he's working from the slot and outside, whatever, you can put him anywhere. You saw yesterday, some of those end arounds. I mean, they're going to be moving him around. I mean, if they're doing it now in the spring, they're going to end up moving him around all over the place. And that is very, very similar game to Marquise Brown. Very similar. At least usage, like how they're utilizing him. So,
oh, absolutely. And you know, him getting separation oftentimes was when the ball was in the air. But even when he was getting the ball in his hands, he was able to get that separation too. And our secondary, you know, safety secondary are no slouch. So, you know, if he's out there getting space on our guys, then, you know, that gets me excited. I'm really looking forward to him, and I hope they keep him in bubble wrap for the next the next 4 or 5 months. Sure. just to protect that guy. Boy, he is a weapon.
And one of the things that, like, off the intangibles, off the field type stuff, I mean, we've heard the practice notes on, you know, the Football Brainiacs about how he's got swag, like a swag or drip or whatever we want to, whatever. He's a hungry dog. Like, he came in here, he came in, he's like, I'm the alpha, this is my room, and I'm taking it over, and I'm going to go. And he does it on the practice field. Then he goes into a spring game and takes care of business. And that kind of work ethic to show that, yeah, you can be kind of cocky or swag or drip or whatever it is and be productive and be a hell of a great player. You got all those young guys like Nick Anderson and even, I mean, Gibson's been here for a while, but the guys that haven't had, you know, huge significant roles and have at least another season or two into developing, having him in that room saying, this is what a receiver is supposed to be like. Yeah. Like, he's leading by example, not just in practice, but now he'll get to go into the great, you know, the best conference in college football and be productive. So yeah, that was a great add to the team. Great add. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, I hear he's real chatty. He's real chatty in practice. And I actually think, you know, some guys think that's cocky, you know, whatever, cocky arrogance. I love it. I love it. And I actually think it makes your defense, your secondary better. When you got a guy like that, that's, you know, chatting it up with the other guys, you know, I just think they want to, and, you know, I don't know the right thing to say here other than they just want to shut him up in practice. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, they're going to end up seeing guys in the SEC. I mean, they're going to line up against Squirrel White. You think Squirrel White of Tennessee doesn't have a mouth on him? You think that the Kieran guy, I forgot his last name, over at LSU, he's now a senior who's trying to take up for Malik Nabers and over there at LSU. And I mean, they're going to going up against some really great, great players at receiver. And to bring in Deion Burks, you know, this, that old adage, that old iron sharpens iron type thing. So, that's a great ad. I mean, it's going to be fruitful. It's going to be very fruitful when we get into season play.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, his connection with Jackson Arnold. So I kind of want to lead into the quarterbacks here. You know, we know Jackson Arnold's the, you know, supposed to be the next great quarterback at OU. And we had Hawkins getting some reps yesterday. And then of course Booty came in a little bit later and got some good reps himself. So, you know, how do you think the quarterback play went yesterday?
I think it went as good as it as well as it did. You know, Arnold, you know, threw some really great balls, and then of course the throws that he couldn't make were the ones I actually paid attention to. Do you remember? I don't know if you recall, but in the first quarter, he drops back and he just spikes the ball on the ground. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So the play was a fade to the outside. It was a fake wide receiver screen. Throw the fade. He drops back. He fakes the receiver screen and he looks to the fade and it is completely blanketed by Connie Walker. Good job by Connie Walker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this was just after Deion Burks' Y cross that got like 30 yards. He didn't get excited. He didn't try to push anything. Yes, I'm overanalyzing a spring game, but still, he didn't just chuck it up there. He knew it wasn't covered, and so he just killed the play. And we kind of saw some of that kind of decision-making in the Arizona game where he didn't see anything. He either took off. He didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. He got rid of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff doesn't – usually like an average quarterback, it takes them like a year or so to figure that out. That there is not a play every single play, that you got to give up on some plays. You got to live another down or whatever. And there was some plays like that where it wasn't there. I was like, toss it away. Now, it is a spring game. Does he make that same decision-making in Baton Rouge? Does he make that same decision-making at the Grove, you know, like on some of these road games? But I'm not going to get, you know, too much into his arm and his accuracy, blah, blah, blah. It's actually just being disciplined at quarterback, especially when you're a young guy. Discipline goes a really long way. And I feel like there's a lot of expectations on him to be this, you know, 4,000-yard, 35-touchdown guy. And I think at the end of the day, it's his first year. And as long as he has those plays where he's disciplined and he's not going to hurt his team, we can win some games.
That's right.
You know, let him work in process and make some plays, but those plays that are not there, toss them away.
Yeah, no, great point. Yeah, I'm with you. So he tosses that down at the, you know, offensive line feet. Yeah, he doesn't do that in the Arizona game. He tries to force it in there. So, you know, if he's willing to learn from his past mistakes, I mean, what more do you want from a five-star quarterback? You know, a humble guy that's willing to learn. I'm excited about him. He, you know, he played good yesterday. You know, I don't know how you can give guys grades sometimes during spring games, but, you know, he looked fine. He threw some nice deep balls and some intermediate stuff. You know, the one thing that we didn't see a whole lot of yesterday that we've been hearing it out in practice is, you know, throwing to the tight end a little bit across the middle. I don't know how many tight end targets there were yesterday, but, you know, that first half of the game, I'm going to say there might have been three.
Yeah, three or four.
And I know one, Sharp got lit up pretty good. I think it was by Boganowski, the new freshman. So he got lit up. Was it a late hit? Yeah, probably. So he lit him up a little bit after the flag. And the first guy over there to get in Boganowski's face was Bates, our center, which I have no problem with. If there's O linemen on our team that are going to jaw with, you know, guys on the other side of the ball, I'm all for it. You know, don't get a penalty for it, but go up there and stand up for your players, you know, whether it's your quarterback or receiver or whatever. So I liked watching a little bit of the chippiness during the spring game. I would be upset if there wasn't any. So
you want some fire. You want a little bit of fire. Yeah. I know it's against your own guys and you've been practicing them for a few weeks now and you don't want anyone to get hurt, but still have that passion of doing your job, do your job, have fun doing it and get a little bit chippy. It's all right.
So I'm gonna try to segue over to the lines here in a minute. Before I do that, though, I kind of want to talk about the running backs a little bit. And I'll tell you who kind of stood out to me yesterday, and that was Caleb Hicks. I don't know where he's at on the depth chart. Let's just say third. That depth chart's ever, you know, kind of evolving, but He looked good. The guy hits the hole. You know, he's got the frame. Just looks athletic and knows when to make his cuts. I think he ran their first touchdown. He might have had another. I can't remember, but I know he had one there early on. He looked good. You know, the transfer from Tennessee. Sam Franklin. He looked good. And I know they got most of the reps yesterday along with Salchuk. We kind of already know what we have in Salchuk, so we weren't really evaluating him maybe like the new guys. But I really liked what I saw from Hicks and Franklin running. And, of course, Barnes, I think they held out just to give some guys some other, you know, some of the other guys some other reps. And, of course, I know we got Tatum coming in this summer. And so, you know, I like that room. I know we're all waiting for a guy just to kind of surface and be that number one guy if we have a good number one and number two, great. But, yeah, I liked what I saw out of Hicks yesterday for sure.
Yeah, the spring game, feel like running backs always have a great day. The defense is not running anything creative or anything like that. They're not showing a lot of different stuff. For the most part, what I was seeing was the same 4-2-5 base over and over again. They just played base the whole time. They did not make any strength call adjustments, meaning moving their five and their three to either the tight end or the backside. So there was some plays. Like, I think there was the first touchdown. It would have been late first quarter. I can't recall which running back it was, but I think
that was Hicks.
Was that Hicks? Mm-hmm. So like hole was open. He was gone. Mm-hmm. He definitely has that frame you mentioned. I mean, his size is what you want out of a back. Some of the questions I have with the running backs is pass protection, mm-hmm. only because the O-line looked good yesterday, but those backs and those tight ends are going to have to be good in pass protection. And I saw Bauer Sharp kind of miss one on Ethan Downs, which I don't know how that happened, how they matched Bauer Sharp on Ethan Downs, who ended up getting a sack. But, those backs, they're going to need to be very good at pass protection. You know, DeMarco's not going to allow a running back to be on the field if he doesn't pass protect. When you're looking at a depth chart of 1-3, 4, most of the time it goes by who gives me the big playability, mm-hmm. and then pass protection. It's just big playability, pass protection, and protect the ball. I mean, it's just those are the three. And you could be 5'5", 180 pounds. If you're laying your body out to protect the quarterback, you're getting on the field. So those younger guys like Caleb Hicks, coming from the high school game to college, pass protection is always the thing that they need to work on. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any glaring issues, but then again, I didn't really see a defense that was stunning around and had any twists or any stunts. They weren't any simulated pressures. They weren't designing the scheme to get a free runner on a running back, just, you know, and none of that. So, but that running back room looks deep. Like there's, especially if Barnes comes back, we'll see. I mean, we're in this portal era now. We're all kind of waiting and seeing who's hitting the portal. But if you got Salchuk, Barnes, and Hicks, and then Franklin, those four tailbacks, that's and then you got that freshman from Carl Albert Robinson. I mean, that's a good little setup to get into, because you know you're going to have to run at least three backs a game.
Yeah. And you add Tatum this summer. So.
And then Tatum. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. They looked good yesterday, finding the holes when they needed to. And they looked nice. And Hicks breaking that one early was nice. So you kind of touched on it already. You said the O-line looked pretty good yesterday. I think the O-line and D-line both, you know, won and lost some battles, which honestly, during a spring game, you kind of want to see both of them do some stuff, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Good protection. Every now and then you want to see a guy get a sack. That's why it's so hard to watch spring games.
Yeah.
You're not really rooting for one team to dominate necessarily. So, yeah, offensive line. I know you and I were, you know, looking at our rosters on our phone as the game transpired and like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Just getting up to speed with all the new guys that are on our roster. Cause we had to totally flip that. You know, we lost our 5-6 deep last year.
Yeah. So 8, we're just technically, yeah.
Yeah. We're just trying to identify guys at this point. And I know, you know, speaking of the offensive line, we got a commit today from the portal from the SMU transfer. So I'm really excited about adding him. I know he'll give Bates a little bit of push, you know, over the summer. His name's escaping me right this second. But the SMU transfer, I think, yeah, he'll come in. He's got, I want to say, 33 games under his belt. And if you look at our current roster with Everett being out, I'm sure that, you know, that's the most experienced guy that we can have right now. So,
yeah, they obviously made that move because Everett's not going to be ready for the season. Yeah. And they're just not going to say it, but he's probably going to have to take a redshirt year. He probably did something not too good to his knee. And they needed to add a body. And Hickman, who was sitting out there in the portal, just waiting for his moment, I guess, mm-hmm. steps into now. All he has to do is drive 2.5 hours north and play in the SEC and be with Coach Bienenbo, like, and then have a possibility to start. I mean, that was pretty easy move, you know, pretty easy move.
Yeah,
I haven't seen his film. I don't watch too much SMU, but you got a guy with 33 games under his belt, and he fits a need, and you didn't have to do too much to bring him in. He just steps on, and now you got him and Bates, and maybe Everett comes in the, you know, sometime in the season. That good, but you're right. I mean, we need to keep adding bodies. Like, you got to find a way to over recruit yourself and find some guys that can take reps for you, you know? So,
yeah. Branson Hickman. So thanks for the name. I totally drew a blank there, but I know SMU came to Norman last year. That's a game I went to, and I know they were a sound looking football team. When they came to Norman last year. So I know he's not coming from, you know, some other team. I know he's a sound football player. So that's all you really want when you bring these portal guys in, you know, is just be able to come in and, you know, pick things up. I hear, you know, technique wise, he's doing real good. So that'll help. So I know we're looking to add. He may be the only one we add on the offensive line from the portal, you know, who knows, but, you know, and then I know they're trying to add two, maybe three guys, you know, on the defensive line just to kind of shore up the interior. I know there's some names out there, of course, floating around. The guy from TCU, Williams, and two or three other guys that are in the portal currently that we're looking at. That probably still have to take additional visits because those defensive linemen are going to shop around. Let's face it.
Yeah.
They're going to look for the NIL deals. It's just what it is. You're just hoping, you know, OU can be competitive in that matter between the NIL and playing time.
Yeah. And I think they will, you know, you and I took a look at Williams and Loyal. Is it Lowell? I don't know how to say his last
name. L-O-L-E. So however you want to pronounce that. Yeah.
Williams and Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Williams, you know, you can Google him and you can find some draft boards out there with him in the future in a couple of years being a draft pick. And, you know, you and I took a look at him at some of his efficiency stats and his run stop and his pass rush efficiency stuff. It was pretty good. I mean, if you compared Williams to Lowell, Williams makes more of his opportunities to get to the quarterback. I think he had a win rate of 12%. Lowell had a win rate of 7%. So, and he's younger. I don't think OU would have gotten into this recruitment if they weren't willing to pay. I don't understand, like, pay up the NIL stuff. I mean, they know Williams is for the NIL, and that's fine. That's great. Mm-hmm. But I don't think OU would have gotten into it if they weren't with the understanding of what it was going to take to get him to sign. So, and I think either one of them or both of them, I don't know if we get both of them, but I hope we get at least one. Because that defensive interior, you know, needs some reinforcements.
Yeah, and you're right about the NIL deal. We wouldn't be in it if we didn't have that, you know, NIL checkbook potentially to hand out or whatever. But I also know OU, and I don't know how other teams are because I don't follow them, but we're great at working in the shadows. So we may say that we're, you know, recruiting Williams hard, but there's two or three guys in the portal that we may be after instead. And I really like our staff, just ability to kind of work behind the scenes and be able to do that. Cause I know we've landed some guys that, you know, weren't on the forefront of everybody else's mind at the time. So we'll see. I know that'll kind of work itself out. Let's see. It's April 21st. There's another 9 days where the portal's open. So, you know, there's going to be half a dozen defensive line guys out there. If we don't hit on Williams, like you said, we get Lowell and maybe another guy. If we add two, I know we start to feel a little better about our depth. So, who knows how we get out of the portal. It's such, I'm glad you and I don't have that job. Yeah, that's just a daunting task trying to manage all the NIL portal stuff these days. So yeah, moving on from the interior guys, what did you see of the edge yesterday?
I thought the edge was okay. I mean, I know that Ethan Downs had some plays. Like I said earlier, he beasted Bowers Sharp for a sack, and he had some great, you know, all those end arounds they had for the receivers. It's kind of strange, but they had all these end arounds for the receivers. Ethan's not going to get out of position like that. I also saw some things where just some veteran, really experienced veteran savvy stuff where he would purposely line up just a little bit outside or a little bit inside just because he knew of the field positioning, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's like really low key stuff, but it's stuff where you can tell he's been coached up quite a bit and in his game. And you should expect that from a 4-year guy. So, saw some good things out of him. PJ had some good plays too. I mean, he was wild at times. We saw him sort of just like his hands and feet weren't coordinated and he completely lost his balance. And then we saw plays where he just like manhandled somebody. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he's just sort of like on a roller coaster. I have a feeling he might have a blow up ball camp because I think he's going to have every opportunity to show out. But that's just my spidey sense going off that he's probably one of the ones I want to listen to or hear about. I know everybody is saying, hey, you know, light, come on, this, that, whatever. But I think it just looked like he's about to break out. Like he is, like, and just need to get to fall camp and have a good summer. That's one guy I'm watching. R. Mason Thomas had some good plays too. They asked him, there was a play I saw where they blitzed the cheetah and they dropped, he was the backside defensive end, and they dropped him into the low hole. So they dropped him in that low hole zone, which is like 3-4 yards out, you know, beyond the line of scrimmage, to basically cover the RPO or any sort of like drag routes that come behind him. He looked, I mean, as a coach, you're not calling that play in the spring if that guy doesn't know what to do. I mean, he's again, a, you know, what is he, three-year guy? This is his third season. So again, it's spring. So we're overanalyzing a little bit, right. But still, R. Mason Thomas, he just needs to stay healthy. I mean, like, he's been banged up. He misses time. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has to stay healthy because I mean, measurables are good and everything, but he needs to stay healthy. I mean, we're going to, and you got him and Ethan, PJ, who am I missing? I mean, Trace Ford, we know who Trace Ford is. He's been around forever. I mean, who am I missing?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So we kind of know where we're getting with Trace Ford, Ethan Downs, R. Mason Thomas. We've seen those guys now for a few years. You mentioned PJ. Yeah, just, yeah, sometimes his feet and he just can't keep up with himself. You know, he's so athletic, so we saw him a couple of times. Caden Woolard, that's the other guy.
Forgot about him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's built, man. He's stacked. Like, that's a D end. And technically, and you and I looked at this, looking at, again, true pass sets, Kalen Woolard is technically our most productive player coming back. Yes, he had those stats in Miami, Ohio, but as far as sacks, pressures, hits, hurries, wins, all that, and a pass rush set, true drop back, he had double the stats of our best player in Ethan Downs. So, quite honestly, when we were sat there, you know, watching, I don't recall seeing him. You know, we gotta go back and watch some. I know he did. I know he played. I know he was out there. Mm-hmm. And now I think there was a couple plays we saw, but you know, it was one of the, not really much action for him. But those are your DNs going into next year, unless, or going into this coming season, unless we add or we lose and we add. But
I'm with you. I think Woolard's a lot like Bothroyd that we brought in last year from Wake Forest. Very similar. Just sound, a lot of football under his belt. Just going to be out there giving you consistent play down in and down out. I know we just need a couple of guys to, you know, flash. You already mentioned R. Mason. He needs to stay healthy, and we just need PJ. Man, I hope he does take that jump or leap like you said. If he does that, I think we're going to be in, you know, we're going to like what we see from the edge guys this year. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I mean, PJ needs to get himself 20 to 25 snaps a game at a minimum. At a minimum. I mean, it should be 20 to 25.
Yeah. So
I mean, going back to interior defensive line, you know who we missed, right? A couple of guys we missed.
Oh, the interior?
Do we go into the interior?
We've been talking about the edge guys, but yeah, okay. No, fire away on the interior guys.
Well, you know, just looking at the interior, I mean, he had Ashton Sanders out there, and Terry was obviously out. Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed was obviously Jaden Jackson, right?
Right.
And I didn't realize he played a lot of three technique. He was not at the nose. He played at three. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, it's almost like if they were going to run that even front in the 4-2-5, that Jaden would be backing up Terry.
Right.
And then, you know, you see a lot of Ashton, and I forgot the other guy.
The other guy who I think flashed a lot yesterday, other than Jaden, Grayson Holton.
That's it. Yeah.
So to me, Grayson Holton and Jaden Jackson were the two guys that stood out to me just because they're, I don't know, Grayson just showed up, I don't know, on three or four different plays a couple of times in a row, you know, and Jaden was just doing his thing. I was particularly watching him. He's hard to miss with the long hair sticking out of the helmet sometimes.
Yeah.
Just a true freshman to be able to come in and, you know, being disruptive from the interior like he was really nice to see yesterday. And I know David Stone got some reps. You know, he's coming along. You know, I know he's second, third down the depth chart, whatever, but he certainly looks good in the uniform. The guy looks the part, you know, if he can just start putting things together and stuff like that. This particular class, defensive line class, especially on the interior with Jackson and Stone, is just going to be something to, you know, watch for the next few years.
Yeah, I found it kind of interesting to see Jaden playing at the three. And I noticed that they had Jaden paired with, I believe it was Grayson Halton, and then had David Stone with Ashton. I can't remember, but they split them up, and they had a guy that was a little bit older than them. And there was one play in particular with Jaden. He's playing the three, and they are running a counter, and he was getting a down block by the center, Josh Iasosa. So he gets a down block from him, and this is freshman on freshman, true freshman on true freshman, gets a down block. He takes it, and then Jaden blows him up, puts Josh on his ass, just blew him up. Yeah. And it was a play that bounced out. It was an end around, but of course, you know, as a defensive lineman, you're watching the mesh and you're watching the action behind. You get a down block, you relax, you hit the down block. He cleared him, and then that ball bounces out. That was one of the Ethan downs. But seeing him, you know, take a guy to the ground at a three, I was like, I think that's just where, you know, your level of freshman versus freshman, how one might need a little bit more time over the other. And Jaden, he's stronger than he looks. I mean, when were you looking at, I was like, man, he's going to have to put some weight on. I don't know. I mean, he's obviously ahead of the freshman curve right now. He's got a little bit more time. Maybe he can actually get on the field. I'm kind of at a pause right now for both Stone and Jackson because they're just 18 years old, and the dudes that they're going to be going up against, this level of competition they're setting up. I mean, we looked at it, the guards and the centers, or especially the guards in the SEC, their average height and weight is like 6'4", 340. Like, they're massive.
Yeah.
I mean, they're huge. So, positive note on Stone. There was a run, actually two or three run plays I remember where he was playing the three and the run action was to him, and it was on a play where he kind of got out of position. His helmet was across the other side and he had to reset his base and come across the other way so that he can collapse the gap. And as you watch it, like, frame by frame, I mean, he does exactly that. Like, he literally, I mean, that's not easy to do. Most guys get caught up inside and they don't know how to correct themselves. One of the biggest things that you teach guys in the next level and then the level beyond the NFL is that every step you take and every move you make can't be perfect. Like, you're not going to be perfect every single time. You got to have to fix it, and you have to learn how to fix it. And they teach guys on offensive line, defensive line, all of that about error correction. He made a couple of errors, not, I wouldn't say errors, but just playing football. And he actually fought across and collapsed that gap. And him and I think it was Ethan Downs collapsed that gap, and the run play went to that B gap, and that gap closed, and it was like a 1-2 yard gain. That kind of stuff, 1-2 yard gains are what prevents, like, it's offenses on 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, and force them to be one dimensional and throw the ball. And knowing how young he is to understand, like, okay, I made a mistake, and then be able to correct it and collapse that gap and fight to the other side. I thought that was pretty good. And he kept a great base and everything. It's just, I'm tempering my expectations because, you know, these guys are young and they're going to need to fill out their bodies. And I mean, they're going to have to go get some beefy dudes. I mean, guys that are 4 years older and been playing the game longer. And but there's definitely a path to the both of them being significant contributors to this team. Next year and beyond. I mean, that, like you mentioned, that defensive class just looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, thank you, IMG Academy.
Yeah.
You know, we got two of them. You know, they played together. So, you know, that I know they're not going to be out on the field together all the time, but, you know, just, yeah, coming from IMG, you can just tell they've had, they're maybe a little more polished than some other guys that are coming in as freshmen. So you touched on it with Stone. Both of them just look like guys coming in, you know, kind of ahead of the curve a little bit. So, yeah, I like what I'm seeing there, just like you do. So anybody stand out to you on the linebacker side? I know we got Stutzman, you know, Stutzman's going to do what Stutzman does. So, I know who I'd like to see in a uniform, and that's Kobe McKenzie and Lewis Carter. And I think they both got some reps yesterday and looked pretty good. Hoping they can take that next step. I know, of course, we got, you know, Kip Lewis, Jaron Kanick. You know, we got, I don't know, I feel like linebacker is just as deep as safety or receiver some days. So, we got a lot of guys there. Anybody stand out to you?
At linebacker, I mean, other than Kobe McKenzie being like the prototypical linebacker that I'd always want on my team. I just felt like Kanick was, again, wild at times. He gets out of it almost like where we mentioned about PJ, about his hands and feet not being kind of wild at times. Kanick, it's like his feet want to go in like 100 directions and everything, and he's got all the athletic ability in the world, but he ends up making you know, as far as space, feeling out the space and where to be in his positioning, it just feels like he's always off just a little bit. Like, yeah. He's always just a little bit off over and over again.
He's having to make up ground a lot of times or something, you know, which he can because of his athletic ability. He makes it hard on himself sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. We got a lot of guys there and, you know, they did what they were asked yesterday. I know it was pretty vanilla on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. You know, it's hard. It's hard because they're not asking them to really blitz. They're not really, I felt like they were late in some of the, in their backpedaling or they're trying to, you know, fill out space behind them on some of the, like the Burks play, you know, that Y cross, he just goes across the field. I felt like that they could have been a little bit deeper and, you know, trying to cut on that angle a little bit, that passing window. I felt like that, you know, it's hard. I mean, Stutzman is the man. We know that, you know, we know he's the man. I do have a question for you. Did Desaun McCullough play Will?
I know he played a lot of Cheetah.
Saw him at Cheetah.
I don't remember him playing Will yesterday.
I don't remember. I thought that was strange.
No, since you brought that up, I don't remember that. And
I don't either.
We've been hearing about him playing that in practice, and I just didn't see it yesterday. And I don't know if that's, you know, them not showing everything yesterday or what, but I did not see him playing Will. I saw Kip and Kanick. Is that it?
Yeah. Did we see Woody on the field?
I wasn't looking for him in particular. I don't know why. I always just try to look for new, you know, the new numbers, the new guys a lot in spring games, because Woody's just, you know, we know what we're getting with Woody. So I did not see Woody out there.
Because, you know, the talk with that was that he was going to be playing safety, and I don't remember him playing safety, like, at all.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that either.
I saw Vickers. I saw Connie Walker. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw Boganowski. Mm-hmm. I mean, there. Let me look at this here.
I saw another guy in particular out there playing. I want it was safety and not corner. Omasigo.
Oh yeah,
that guy looks great in a uniform. By the way, just a bigger guy. You're like, man.
Oh, yeah, Des Malone. We saw Des Malone too. Yeah,
Des
he got the start.
Yeah, he looked really good at corner. I'm excited to see him. He's got size and just. He looked real comfortable out there. You can tell he's got a lot of snaps under his belt. So it'll be interesting to see who those starting corners are come August 30th. You know, I think Dez will be one of the guys. I'm not sure. Gentry's, of course, still recovering from shoulder surgery. So he didn't play yesterday. So he may be that other guy. But just very deep in our back seven. So kind of remains to be seen on who those starters will be.
Yeah.
First of the season.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of interesting. All the news that we got through spring and we get into the spring game and, you know, there wasn't a whole lot. There was quite a few things that were kind of missing, you know, the Bauer Sharp, you know, we heard about multiple touchdowns. He only gets three, four targets and a couple receptions and hear about Woody at safety, and we don't see him at safety. And we heard about the O-line having snap issues, and we don't see one snap have an issue. I mean, it's just a lot. And that's why I think it's important for us to understand that, like, this is all a very fluid situation. Just, you know, like, with more and more time, they're going to knock off the rust, and they're going to be, you know, gelling and forming a team. They might be moving a little bit pieces here and there. But as much as things... you know, change, a lot of it's going to stay exactly the same. So, I, you know, it was a fun day. It was exciting day to see everybody. And it's great to be in Norman. You and I just tore up Campus Corner. I mean, we went bar hopping everywhere. We were like, I mean, it was fun. I mean, it was fun to see everyone and the fans and everything. And I feel like, this year is going to be a very exciting year. We all know why, and I want to touch on one last note before we end this thing. It is good that BV is keeping the spring game and not doing some weird stuff like Ole Miss. I don't mind it. I mean, I don't care what Ole Miss does. You know, the basketball slam dunk thing, the 7-on-7, but it is very, very interesting how the approach that BV is, which is old school, and they put on pads and they tackle. Ole Miss, they haven't put on pads at all through the spring. No pads, no tackling, yeah. No spring game.
Yeah.
They're just, I mean, I don't. I mean,
they had a hot dog eating contest. They brought in Joey Chestnut.
Yes, yes. Like, it's like a state fair thing.
Yeah, and there's no mystery there. We know who's going to win that contest, right?
Right.
So where's the fun there?
Right. I mean, it's just I at first when I saw that, you know, the Grove spring game, I was like, oh, yeah, that seems kind of fun. But then it's kind of like, no, I want football. Like, I don't care if it's fake football. I don't care if it's just, you know, we two-touch football. Like, let's have some pads on and football and. You know, seeing RSJ come downhill at 60% and just take his guy down, or Ethan Downs go and track a guy and bring him down, or Arnold and Burks, you know, the Burks play where that first touchdown where he's running up, or actually I think it was the second or third, you know, he's just running up the seam. And I mean, that's what we want. We want the big plays, and that's what we watch. We want the big hits and the big plays. And even though the spring game is, you know, celebratory, it's tradition, it's all that, but it's still football. And I'm glad we've got a coach that's not going to have a hot dog eating contest. and bring on some hot dog eating people like Joe Chestnut.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you totally. Now I want to, you know, as we wrap things up here, I'm going to touch on something real quick. You know, the kicking game.
Oh crap!
We saw a few field goals made, extra points, whatever. I don't think either one of us or most of Sooner Nation is going to feel comfortable with our kicking game until some guy comes out, makes 3 40-yard field goals in a game. You know, I just don't think we're going to get there. You know, I like the fact that we have, you know, three guys in the room, whether it's, you know, Schmidt, the incumbent, transfer Keltner, and our true freshman, Liam Evans for more. It's nice to have competition. I'm just hoping that competition breeds results and, you know, someone that's a, can give us all a little bit of comfort when the game's on the line.
Just
to make a 30 yard field goal.
We're going to have some close games next year and, you know, three points easily can decide about five of those games on our schedule next year. Easily. I mean, looking at the lines that'll come out and some how we finish. I mean, we're going to need a kicker to be able to go on the road with a roaring crowd. That's crazy. And that atmosphere that's just, we're going to burn this place to the ground and have this guy go out there and kick a 40-yard winning field goal. And watching that spring game and some of the games that we had last year, I just feel like I want the swag, man. I want the uber confident kicker that's just going to go out there and just, he knows what's going to happen. I'm going to ice it. It's done. Like, thank you. You know, like he goes out there and just like, thank you. I win. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, team. We got it. I got it. And ice it. Instead, I get the feelings of like, he hit that ball with his purse. Like, what the heck? Like, get it in the uprights. Like, let's go.
Yeah. We don't need the guy kicking for Chick-fil-A for a year, you know, out kicking our kickers. Not that that happened, but you know, it's not that bad. I hate to portray it that way, but we just need to feel good about that part of the game. Hopefully with our new, you know, special teams coordinator and bringing a couple of new guys on campus, we'll get there. So again, it's spring game. So,
and it's spring game and, you know, they have plenty of opportunities to show out and I'm rooting for them. Let's do it. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Well,
This was great, man. This was a long time coming. We've been talking about it here for a while. This was great. I'm glad we had the spring game. You kind of kicked this off.
Yeah.
For anyone, you know, that's watching us right now, you see the scroll or the ticker down at the bottom, you know, please follow us, go to our website, championstandard.com, all one word, championstandard.com. That's very important. Or follow us on Twitter at CStandardOK. But please go check our website out. Rob's really added a lot of things out there. And, you know, it's always evolving, but it's really come together nice. And it's only going to get better. This is just the beginning. This has been great, Rob. It's a good time. I know we're going to enjoy it. And hopefully get some internet action from the community that's out there, you know. Love to hear from you. So, I appreciate it. And do you have any things you want to say on our sign off here?
Yeah, just, you know, this could be a fun project and we're not taking this all too seriously. Mm-hmm. This is all for fun. And, we've done a few practice shows, we've always left it being just jacked. Like, this is just so much fun and we're going to keep it fun. And we're going to hope that you guys have fun with us. And like I said, we're going to be building on to our website and everything out there over the next few months and in the summer. And hopefully by, you know, when we get into our first season kick, Temple, Friday night. We'll have a really good little setup, and we'll be podcasting through the whole thing. We're going to keep building onto it, and as long as we keep having fun and you guys have fun, we'll keep rocking and rolling. So thank you for listening. We'll be back here in about a week.
Yeah. Stay tuned, everyone. Enjoyed it. Until next time, Boomer Sooner.